Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
Well, we are now on the air following the commissioner of the ACC. And, of course, I'm looking at a couple texts that came in. And, first of all, one guy wanted to know, where in the hell is the Hall of Famer, the great Dan Issel? Another says, are you guys sick today?
No. We just had a little misunderstanding here about, I guess... We're supposed to cover the ACC press conference just like we covered the SEC press conference. But no, we're not sick. We're right here waiting for that press conference to get over like the rest of you.
Boy, Mark Stoops, he had some interesting sound bites we can get to in the second hour from his meeting at or his part of the media yesterday in Birmingham. But before, we've got a great guest at coming out of the break at 10:30, Matt Doherty, who played at Carolina, coached at Carolina, coached various places, and good guy, wrote a book. We're going to talk about his book. But before then, let me just throw this at you. How many times do you see a performance like you saw last night by Giannis?
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Mike, you know, yesterday we sat here and talked about who had to do what and what had to happen and all of that. And it was all for naught because at the end of the day, and I hate that saying, at the end of the day, I can't believe I just used it. But the final analysis, how about that? It all came down to Milwaukee had Giannis and Phoenix didn't.
Yeah.
And that's what it came down to. And we can get into it a lot more. But
net. Right?
Yeah. Chris Paul played okay. I thought that I've got a new nickname for Ayton instead of Domin Ayton. He's now no D Ayton.
Boy, he didn't want to go laterally.
He spent most of the first half running away from Giannis to make sure he didn't pick up any fouls. He was awful. And our poor man, Devin Booker, he struggled. We talked about this the other day. I think Milwaukee just physically beat up Phoenix.
Yeah.
But the whole difference was, nobody has had 50 points in a closeout game since Bob Pettit.
Bob Pettit's done it. Elgin Baylor's done it. Jerry West has done it. And I researched this. Rick Barry and MJ and LeBron.
Really?
Yeah, those guys, seven guys now that have scored 50 or more in a finals game.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Pretty,
well,
that's pretty hot company.
Yeah, what I read, the report I read said that nobody had done it in a closeout game since Bob Pettit.
It might have been closeout. This I read said finals.
In the finals.
Finals, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got to have some fun here before we go to a break and then hook up with Matt Doherty. We got to have some fun. A listener sent us a couple T-shirts, and they're beautiful.
They're great.
Jeff Pierce at Dirty Tees, right? We're going to give him a free shot because he was so kind.
On Bardstown Road.
Yeah, and you tell him about your T-shirt, Mr. Issel.
My T-shirt has, and I don't know if Jeff made this up or if this is legitimate. It must be legitimate. The front of the T-shirt has a Baltimore Claws logo on it. And then remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about spending 10 days in a Baltimore hotel Sherry and Sheridan and a parakeet and a dog. And so on the back of the shirt, he's got a green parakeet and a Sheltie and then a picture of a very, very young John Y. Brown in front of a Kentucky Colonel's backdrop. But this is great. This is the only thing I've ever had that has Baltimore Claws on it.
How about that?
This is perfect. So thank you, Jeff, for that. We appreciate it.
And the other one he sent had on the front Wuhan Bats with a bat right on the front. The Wuhan Bats, we had talked about, I made a comment that the team in China was the Wuhan Bats. And on the back, there's John Y.
That's the same picture, John
ABA.
Y. ABA basketball.
And then the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline is on the back there. And we appreciate that because we love Kim. We love John Y. I don't know about the Wuhan Bats. I got to check see what their record is. You know we love the Baltimore Colts.
I love my T-shirt. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Jeff. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll sell something here, we hope. And come back, and we'll have Matt Doherty and talk about his experiences in basketball in his new book.
Get ready for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Well, it's a big day today. We got the ACC commissioner off from the football media, and we're getting ready to talk to a basketball guy. And this is kind of a basketball show, Dan. But before we do that, I want to tell you about, like so many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. NMLS 8259. Equal housing lender. And let's welcome in Matt Doherty on our Kim Crawford Celebrity Wines call-in line. And
the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline. I'll write it down for you.
Man, how about that needle from a teammate, huh? Hey, Matt, we've got the power back on, but they don't push the button to bring you on. But my former teammate just shot me a needle, man, and you can appreciate that, right? Matt Doherty, can we hear you? Well, until we get Matt, until West Virginia figures this out, he must not like Carolina or Kentucky.
This one isn't my fault. My computer's not on. This one isn't my fault.
That was a beauty yesterday. Oh, Lord.
Well, we had Matt lined up last week and did and lost power in the studio, and he was kind enough to reschedule. I hope we can get him on now.
We're trying. His book is Rebound from Pain to Passion. And it's lessons learned. And Matt now is coaching corporations, folks, groups, whatever. He's doing a lot of that now. And he says that basketball coaching was his drug. and still is.
Yeah, yeah.
And Charles, West Virginia Charles, is trying hard. Matt's gonna think this is like a setup.
When do you go back to school? Is it pretty soon? West Virginia, you go back to school pretty soon?
Matt Doherty, welcome in, brother. Oh, this is bad radio here.
Oh man.
We got to get somebody in here. We got Process now. Process is working. West Virginia's helping now.
Process is here, so all is well now. He'll fix it.
Okay. All right, Matt Doherty, welcome in, brother.
Yeah, I've had easier times getting on a radio show. I thought I was dealing with the Kentucky pressure when Coach Pitino was coaching.
Well, Matt, we have to, in all fairness, we have to tell you that we have an intern working the board this morning that attends West Virginia. And so,
That explains it. That's all you had to say. I get it.
Well,
I get it.
You had quite a career at Carolina, national championship, and went on and coached at a lot of places very successfully. But you got a book out now, man, and it's called Rebound from Pain to Passion, Lessons Learned. And the clips I read, I found it very interesting. Tell us how this came about.
Well, it's amazing that a guy from Carolina can write a book, and it's amazing a guy from Kentucky actually attempted to read a book. But anyway, sorry. I couldn't pass that up. I'm sorry. I'm a wise ass from Long Island, and just excited to be on the show with you two guys. You know, I read both your bios. I know both your careers. You know, as great a player, Dan, as you were, you still dealt with, you know, setbacks. You dealt with failure. You dealt with, you know, running the Nuggets to coaching the Nuggets. And Mike, you were at UNC Charlotte taking over when you were an assistant on the Final Four team in '77. And then, you know, after 4 years, you're not coaching anymore. So, you know, we all want to win our last game and have this great career, but chances are we don't. And the thing is, I see with most successful people, they've dealt with failure. And so I decided to write a book about failure and how to overcome it. And you know, one thing that they don't teach you that's the most important topic is leadership. You know, leadership is not formally taught in school, and even if it was, it still requires consistent attention, like, you know, playing golf. Like, you can't just take a golf lesson and think, okay, I got this figured out. You got to continue to work on your craft, just like to me, leadership. And so I'm passionate about the subject because I got my ass handed to me at North Carolina, and I'm like, okay, you know, like, as a player, as a coach, what did you do after a loss? You watch the film and try to get better. And that's what I basically did. I watched the film and try to get better.
Matt, the thing that impressed me, and you were poking fun at yourself, but you didn't have a ghostwriter for this book. You wrote this book yourself, and I love the transparency. As you said, you know, everybody, as they look back on their life, there's going to be successes and failures. But I really appreciated how transparent and how honest you were about your career.
Well, you know, I think that someone, a friend of mine, said that vulnerability is the new invincibility. And I think people lean into that. I'm authentic, you know, like, I'm tired of people wearing masks. I jokingly say, you know, like, when you come into my room, take your mask off. Like, put it on the hook. And we all have masks, like, especially as athletes, right? You want to be the biggest. You want to be the best. You want to be the toughest. And take the damn mask off. And the one mask we all like to think we have is, you know, have our crap together mask. You know, like we all walk in, like, I got my crap together. My crap's together. I know, you know, none of us have our crap together. Totally. Right.
Yeah, right.
So take the mask off, put it on the damn hook, and let's have real, authentic conversation. And that's the most freeing thing you can do. It's the healthiest thing you could do. And it's the place where you grow from.
Well, Matt, let me back up just a minute, go just a bit away from the book. The team you played on that won the national championship, I mean, that was so talented of a team. And Coach Smith, Coach Guthridge, and Eddie Fogler put that thing together. Was that a team that you had to struggle at times, or even never struggle, to put that chemistry together because of the talent?
Well, you know what? I talk a lot about. Matter of fact, I'm in Carolina Beach, North Carolina. I'm speaking to a group today about culture, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm an executive coach. I work with this company called Vistage, and I work with CEOs, and then I do corporate talks. And when I talk about culture, it's amazing how much I refer to Coach Smith. And it all starts. One, you got to have a philosophy, right? And his philosophy was play hard, play smart, play together, team basketball. And so then that has to go into the recruiting of the players. And I was on a podcast last night with George Lynch, who played on the 93 championship team, George Carl, who played for Coach Smith in the early 70s, and myself. And the funny thing is, because sometimes you think you're the only one. And Coach Smith came into each of our homes and didn't promise any of us playing time. I was a McDonald's All-American, highly recruited like everybody else at North Carolina and Kentucky and, you know, the high-profile schools. And Coach Smith came in, and the topic of playing time came up, and he said, he's very relaxed, confident, leaning back, you know, hand on the side of his fingers on the side of his temple, and he always kind of whined, and he said, Matthew, you'd be lucky to play by the time you're a junior. And I remember leaning in forward in my chair, saying to myself, I'll show you. And I think he did it for a couple reasons. One, he wanted you to know, like, I'm not promising anything to you. And so when you're a junior and senior, you can know that I'm not promising anything to kids in their home. You know, so that helps with chemistry and your role and earning it. And then the second thing is, if you can't accept that challenge, you're not competitive enough to play for him.
Yeah, good, great point. You said what I read, Matt, was that you didn't ask Michael for very many favors, and I can imagine the pressure people put on you when they found out you knew Michael Jordan, what kind of things they would ask you to get. But you said in him writing the foreword for your book, this was something you asked him to do for you. And what I read said he responded like in 20 minutes and said, when do you need it? That's got to be great.
Well, Dan, Dan, you were one of the greatest players ever to play basketball, and you know, I'm sure there are friends that you had, you know, that might say, hey, so-and-so wants you to speak at this camp, so-and-so wants to have you sign this, so-and-so. And after a while, you're like, you don't want to, you want to be a nice guy, but you might not return that call so fast.
Right.
So I didn't want to be that guy to Michael. I wanted to be a friend to Michael. So after, you know, as you get a little older and a couple times, I'm like, finally, I said, listen, I don't ask Michael for anything. I said, I want him to answer the phone when I call and be happy to do so, not feel like I'm going to ask him for something every time I call. So the only time I asked him for something was for me. And that was I asked him for tickets once in a while, and he's happy to oblige. But, you know, for me, for personal stuff, and if it's meaningful. That was meaningful. It was a big ask, and there was no one better to ask than him to write the foreword for my book.
You mentioned what Coach Smith said to you in the recruiting process. I was always a big fan of Coach Smith. He was terrific to me. Said some kind things when we played them. And when I was at Charlotte, he was very supportive at different times. And I want to tell you a great story about Coach Smith. I first got the job, Matt. Lee Rose goes to Purdue. So he was AD and head coach. And they hadn't hired an AD. Lee had just left, and Coach Smith is speaking to the Tar Heel Club. What is that club, the big fundraising club?
Yeah, Rams Club.
Rams Club. Mm-hmm. Speaking in Charlotte, yeah. Long story short, John Kilgold calls me, said Coach Smith wants to talk to you. I thought, oh, my God, this is great. You know?
Right.
And he said, meet him at Ovens Auditorium, which was next to the old Charlotte Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
Meet him at 3:45 and be there on time. And I'm Adolf. We're timely guys with Adolf. I mean, we learned to be time. So I get there at 3:30, okay?
Right.
And I'm with Kilgo, and we're standing there. And here comes Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge and I think the AD, who I have no idea it was now. And so – Coach Smith, how you doing, Mike? It's a great opportunity for you. I've always been a fan, yada, yada, yada. And I'm smiling. I'm waiting for an invitation to come to his coaching clinic or something, you know. And so he looks at me. He says, do me a favor, would you please? I said, Coach, absolutely I'll do you a favor. He said, I like Lee Rose and all this stuff, but, you know, he really beat me up about playing them. He said, if you promise me never to bring that up, I'll help you someplace sometime. Believe me. I promise you. What am I going to say? You know? No.
Right.
And I say, Coach, absolutely, I'll do it. So, you know, 4 years later, I get fired with a winning record, coming off a winning season. And on his radio show, which Kilgo did, the week after I got fired, he came out and said, look, a young coach didn't get a chance down there, yada, 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 and it's a shame it happened. And I think that was a payback for me keeping my big mouth shut for 4 years, right? But that was – I think that's the kind of guy he was.
Well, he doesn't forget, first of all. And it's funny, you know, you think about Kentucky basketball, you think about North Carolina basketball, where would they be without Kansas basketball? Because of Adolph Rupp, you know, playing at Kansas and Dean Smith playing at Kansas, both for Fog Allen. So, you know, it's amazing the tree, the coaching tree, the basketball tree that the three of us grew up under.
Absolutely, and I have to say I didn't like Coach Smith. He beat us twice out of the three times we played against him. So I don't like Coach Smith. Matt, the one thing I want to ask you about was, I didn't know this till I read your book. After he retired, he still had an office, I believe, in the basketball building, was still very present. That had to be intimidating for anybody that followed him, didn't it?
Yeah. Like, you know, in business, you know, or in churches, and this is why the leadership thing is so fascinating to me, is there are fundamental things that are done in leadership. And, you know, a previous leader, you know, like in the church, a Presbyterian church, and I grew up Catholic, but we were going to a Presbyterian church, and I wrote this in the book. You know, if a Presbyterian minister retires, he can have no official duty in the church for up to a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't do weddings, can't do funerals. And they bring in an interim, and they let the interim make all the changes, and then they hire a permanent pastor. So the permanent pastor doesn't have to be the bad guy in making any changes that would impact him negatively with the congregation. And as I'm sitting in this church and they're explaining this process, I'm like, oh, my God. I was the interim coach. You know? No, I mean really, like I made change. I brought my own staff in. I made change to the locker room, the weight room, the staff, the style of play. You know, and then I left, and then Roy Williams came in, and he didn't undo anything that I did. You know what I mean? He didn't bring back former players to be his assistants. He didn't bring back secretaries. He didn't undo anything. And so I was like, oh my God. And in fact, that Dean Smith and Bill Guthridge had offices in the building was a blessing and a curse.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a blessing that I had them as a resource. I could use them in recruiting. I could go to Coach Smith and talk basketball. Talk to Coach Guthridge about, you know, how to run a program. I mean, it was wonderful. But, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with the new guy. So when they call Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge, oh, by the way, two secretaries that I had four secretaries I inherited. Two of them quit. I thought they were going to retire. They went to work for Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge. So now you're a former player and you're calling, hey, I just want to say hello to Coach Smith. How's it going with the new staff? Oh, it's different. Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Matt.
Oh, yeah. The fuse was lit, man.
Matt, my question would, I mean, you know, when the great coaches retired, they walked away. Coach Wooden at UCLA, Coach Rupp. I mean, you go right down the list. If Dean wanted to be that involved, why did he retire in the first place?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think I was told that his wife really wanted him to retire. But yet he didn't. You know, when Coach Guthridge took over, Coach Smith kept his office.
Oh,
Coach
really?
Guthridge worked out of his office, yeah.
Out of the assistant coach's office?
As assistant coaching office, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. No, and here's my where I was naive. I'm 39. I'm the head coach at Notre Dame. Think I'm going to be there forever. Irish Catholic kid from Long Island. And they call and they say, Roy turned it down. You got to take the job. Michael Jordan calls me. You got to take the job. If you don't take the job, they're going to go outside the family and hire Rick Majerus. I'm like, okay, that's not happening. You know, like just imagine, you know, your feelings towards Kentucky basketball. You know, yeah, I'll do anything. I'll dive on the sword. So I take the job. And in the process, Coach Smith says to me, it's your program, you run it how you see fit. Because the people that were trying to get me not to take it were like, hey, Coach Smith's going to run the program. It's, you know, he's going to micromanage it. I'm like, all right, well, I'll ask the question. You know, and you never felt like your coach ever lied to you, right? So Coach Smith says to me, it's your program, run it how you see fit. I'm like, check, that's all I need to hear. I take the job. That's not what he wanted. I was a recruit at the time.
Again.
No, yeah. Seriously. I mean, and listen, it's human nature. Like, we all are flawed. Like, we could look at Adolph Rupp. We could look at Dean Smith. We could look at John Wooden. And we idolize them. We put them on these pedestals. At the end of the day, they're still men. They were great men. Great, great, great men. But still flawed. And like we all are. And so, you know, I think that I got, you know, I should have stayed at Notre Dame. Or I should have taken the job and been wise enough to have counsel that says, hey, let Coach Smith run the program through you. Let him have his say. Let him run 25% of the program, whatever that is. Seats, tickets, you know, a say in assistance, a say in how you play. And that would have been smart on my part. I mean, you know, he is one of the best coaches ever to coach, to me, all of team sports. But I wasn't savvy enough at that age to read the situation.
We're talking with Matt Doherty, the former head basketball coach at North Carolina. His book is Rebounding from Pain to Passion, Lessons Learned. And Matt, I've got to ask you, what was the response from your former teammates or former Carolina players about your book?
Well, you know, I think a couple things. Some have been good and some I haven't heard. So I wonder, you know, if some, maybe they didn't read it. If they read it, they may be like, well, they don't, you know, maybe I pulled back the curtain too much. You know, painted, you know, some people in a negative light and I shouldn't have done that, you know. And that's okay. That's their right. And it's my right to write the book. And I try to do it as tastefully as possible. I try to take the high road. I did not call you know, try not to, you know, there's a lot I didn't put in the book. I'll put it that way. I mean, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of stuff I could have put in there. I didn't want it to put it. I want it to be a business book, a leadership book, a basketball story book, a dream book. I wanted it to touch a lot of lives. I did not want to write it from a bitter frame of mind, because that's not where I'm at. I was from a learning and growth mindset, and that's the way I wrote it. And I want some people to understand, you know, some of the things I had to deal with that weren't pleasant, you know, and how hard it was, and that I did not handle it properly. At the end of the day, it was still me and how I reacted to the situation. And I could have reacted better in a lot of the different situations. But when you're 39 and it's your first, second year as a head coach, you know, and oh, by the way, and people don't get this, but you guys will get it. I got the job July 11th. I got the job July 11th. You know, like Hubert Davis just took over. He's at North Carolina 9 years as an assistant, and then gets the job in April. Mm. So now you have a runway to get to know, you know, well, Hubert knows the players. He knows the place. But if I got the job in April like I did at Notre Dame, I would have had time to get to know the players, the landscape of the university, the former coaches, former players. I got the job July 11th. That next day, I'm on the recruiting trail trying to recruit Carmelo Anthony. You know, and then you got August, the kids aren't on campus, and then you got school starts.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know, I mean, everything was compact. It was for what little dark hair I had on my head at that time went right to white.
It was all white. Matt, I, one of the interviews that I read with you after the book came out was you called coaching your drug. And I thought you had a great line. You said, if we can have a president that's 78 years old, we can have a head basketball coach that's 58. I thought that was a great line. But
yeah.
Do you think you'll coach again?
No, I don't. I find it is my drug, you know. And I'd love to get on the court. I spoke at a clinic the other day, and I'm with these kids, and you know, just the energy you get by being on the court with the ball and the squeaking of the sneakers. You know how it is. I mean,
absolutely.
Both you guys know how it is.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
The best thing is playing. The distant second is coaching. And everything after that, you just feel like a spectator. And so I'm an executive coach now. I work with a group called Vistage. It's one of the oldest executive coaching organizations in the country. And I find fulfillment in this. This is coaching. I am coaching. It's just my players wear khakis and polo shirts and button-downs and dresses. And so I'm working with CEOs and, you know, bringing together a team. We meet once a month, and then I meet with them individually. And it's just like practice. It's just like a game. I talk about Coach Smith and his philosophy. I'm speaking today to a group, North Carolina Head Start, and there'll be a couple hundred people there, and we're talking about culture. And I can't help but I got to protect myself from saying Coach Smith's name too much, because it just, there's so many things that he did from the beginning about creating a culture of teamwork, of hard work, of unselfish play, playing the right way, that applies to business. So, you know, business is a team sport. It's a team sport, and so everyone deals with the same thing: recruiting good talent, training talent, having it play together, performing at a high level. It's just the scoreboard, the stock price, the P&L versus the scoreboard. So I get a lot of fulfillment out of that. I'm my own boss. I don't have an AD. I don't have a booster club.
Good.
I don't, you know, I like to recruit. I like to coach. You know, I have my fix. I do a little radio like you guys. So I will probably it's so hard to say, isn't it? I probably will not coach again.
Never say never.
That's right.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate your time, and it's a great book. I would encourage all of our listeners to get it. It's got everything in there. It's just a terrific read, and we appreciate your time, and we hope you'll come back soon.
Well, there's an upcharge for Kentucky. You know, if people in the state of Kentucky buy the book, there's an upcharge, just a surcharge.
How about that?
Extra tax.
Yeah. Is that a little – now, you have some former teammates before we let you go. One of them by the name of George Carl hates everything Kentucky. And he told me that because I was scouting for him when he was at Cleveland. And you're not that way, are you? Issel and I hate Carolina.
I have great respect. Matter of fact, one of my better friends is Jimmy Master, who played at Kentucky. Jimmy is a good friend, and when I go to Louisville, I'll often meet him for dinner. And he and I were the same grade coming out and played against each other in these All-Star games. And I have a lot of respect. You know, Kyle Macy and everything that's been accomplished at Kentucky, continues to be what Calipari's doing. It's amazing. So, I think it's healthy rivalry. We have a good time and can poke fun at each other. And we traveled similar paths. So there's I think a bond there. That we all share.
Matt, thanks again. And his book is Rebounding from Pain to Passion: Lessons Learned. Go out and pick it up. We hope you come back.
Hey, anytime. Thanks. It's a real pleasure, Mike, to be on the show. And Dan, I was grew up right next to Nassau Coliseum. I was a big New York Net fan in the 70s and watched you and
I played on that team too, Matt. Now, I was passing to him.
Well, I saw your bio too. Yeah, you probably got on it because Dan said, hey, I got this guy who played with me in Kentucky. And, he's a good guy. He won't cause any problem. And, so that's probably how you got on the roster. I get it.
Matt, is that why you wore number 44?
You know what? 44 was one of the best sports numbers ever.
Yep.
From Dan Issel to Reggie Jackson to Jerry West to Adrian Dantley wore it at Notre Dame, Trapuka wore it at Notre Dame, Pete Maravich, and my number in high school was 30 and 31. We had home and away,
right.
And Michael Korn was 31. And I don't want people thinking, as much as I love Michael Korn, he was my favorite player, I didn't want to say, oh, he's just trying to be like Michael Korn. So 30 was taken by Al Wood. So I went with Dan's number. Great number.
There you go.
When I graduated, there were still a lot of points left in it.
Thanks, Matt. We'll catch up in the future, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's great.
That was a great interview. And should I ask Charles whether we need to go to a break at this point in time? Can we go to a break? And we'll come back and we'll share some thoughts on Matt Doherty and his book and the NBA playoffs and all kinds of things that are going on in the world of sports.
It's baseball season. No matter how you watch the game, you'll win with Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, the official wine of Major League Baseball. Pick up Woodbridge and hit a home run with Wine for All. It's got the smooth, fruit-forward flavors that have been a game day tradition for over 40 years. Add Woodbridge to your lineup today. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, from One for All. Please enjoy our wines responsibly. 2021 Woodbridge Winery at Campbell, California.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
You can feel it more and more every day. Louisville is coming back. And so too is Louisville's Grand Sealbach Hilton. This month, Sealbach Hilton and ESPN Louisville are partnering to offer you 20% off room rates for a limited time. Just mention ESPN Radio. World wars didn't stop us, and neither did the Great Depression. Like you and like Louisville, the Sealbach Hilton is coming back. Come join us, celebrate spring, and take 20% off this month too. Don't forget to mention ESPN Radio.
Hey all you sports fans and dog lovers out there, Brian Hall here. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And sometimes you may even want to bring your dog. And at Double Dogs, you can do both and even satisfy those big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos. Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need at lunch or dinner while never having to miss a game. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs, located in the Middletown Commons.
In. Oh, what a firecracker from Jimmy McLaughlin.
Hey, it's Jeff Greer. Loose City is back.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.